If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the one divine self. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar is Beyond Intellectual Candy to Knowing I Am the Light. So let's take a deep breath and just be aware that you are the light. You are the only means that the one divine creative intelligence is conveyed into the world as a flow of awareness, conscious sentiency, as revelation, as the very truth itself. All information is carried on the light, and the only one that carries the full spectrum potential of limitless light is the human soul. There is no other means through which the creative intelligence can manifest into time and space except through you. You are the light, the very light of all lights, of the cosmic lights that shine from every sun, every star, every radiant Lord of Light. You are the very light of God. Yes, you. That light flows through the photons into every single cell, every strand of your DNA. It flows through your cerebral spinal fluid as crystalline encodements of Christ consciousness. And as you attune and awaken to the light that you are, more and more space, as it were, is illumined within the brain, within the neurons, within the nervous system, and begins to flood the awareness with an entirely new experience of self and a revelation of an entirely new reality and world. That is why it's so important to awaken as the light, to know the self that you are as pure, divine light. You're not becoming light, you are light. And yet, because you have such a strong investment in this time sequencing and becomingness, we will express it tonight in a way that accommodates that belief system, but also allows you to identify the manifesting of light when it is occurring in you and through you, so that you can have a more practical, landed, as it were, reference point for the light action as it shows up every interaction that you have with conscious awareness. Awareness is the light itself. So let me ask you, have you ever had a personal revelation of being the light? I have, and that's why I can speak about it. I've had many, to where it's no longer an experience, but an ongoing awareness of self. That's why I can speak about it. Otherwise, I would be disingenuous, and I would not speak about something that I have not experienced. So if you've had a personal revelation of being the light, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if not, just keep looking. Look within the self through your meditation, through your times of pondering and contemplating, who am I? What is God? God is light. That's why everyone that has a near-death experience or an experience of divine revelation, every single one of them mentions the light. So your entrance into the higher states of awareness starts with the light, as we spoke about last week, that you are the living word. But before you can experience the living sound, the living word, generally you go through experiences of the light. You might call the light the only begotten Son of God, or the Christ, and the divine word, the creative logos, or God. And you'll get a sense of what we're talking about here. So without a personal revelation, genuine knowing is, you know, it's not going to happen. You have to have a personal revelation to have genuine knowing. Otherwise, it'll only be information that you're getting, which is intellectual candy. People ask these questions over and over about things that mean nothing about anything that's going to be lasting and eternal. It's intellectual candy. It's the thing that the ego likes to distract you with, asking questions about things that really have nothing to do about the light that you are here and now in this moment. So the light is the vehicle, the carrier of creative intelligence, of information, of awareness, of consciousness, of revelation, and the distillation of all of that into what we call wisdom. Many light workers are simply working with the light, but have yet to truly experience themselves as the light. So we need to progress from simply being light workers to light bearers, and ultimately to experiencing ourselves as the light itself. And so many work with the light by acquiring personal insight through their life experiences. And our daily life experiences is what develops our light of awareness. So the light of experience is very important. And this includes our educational experiences or the deeper insights provided by human potential trainings or counseling or philosophy or metaphysics. And each provides our arena for acquiring greater personal awareness and light or insight. But all of that is basically intellectual candy, because it is bringing light into a level that is going to have to be sacrificed and transcended at some point. We have to go beyond the outer conditioning, the outer belief systems, the outer seminars, the outer trainings, the outer things that we've gotten from another, to awaken to our own direct awareness of light. So every form of realization is an expression and experiencing of light. So at the level in which you are developing personal insight, you will think of light as still being outside of yourself in some form of greater knowledge or body of information. And at that stage, you will call in the light as if it were something that you had to import into yourself in some way. And you will pray for greater light. Or you'll think of others as having more light than you have, or higher wisdom. And you'll feel somehow lacking. But at least at this stage, there is some intention and focus toward entering into greater light. So it serves as a stepping stone. And this is the stage where you think of yourself as being, quote, in the light. I'm a light worker, you'll say. Or I'm working with the forces of light, or the brotherhood of light, or the ascended masters, or I'm a channel for this one or that one, or I'm a psychic, or I'm a healer, and I work with the light and bring healing or whatever to people. All of that is the infancy of awakening. And at some point, you need to lay aside the things of your childhood and mature and grow into spiritual, total accountability and co-creatorship. But the next step in that stage of progression would be where you are seeking greater light. You want to find that light. And this will lead you, ultimately, to a path of committed spiritual practice. You'll study, you'll meditate, you'll chant mantras, and you'll focus your attention inward in some form. And if you are experiencing a bona fide, tried, tested, and effective form of meditation, you will, at some point, begin to experience light. And coupled with study, and rumination and contemplation of the teachings and what you're experiencing, he will anchor that into a growing body or treasury of inner light, which is stored in a light quotient in your causal body. And it unfolds sequentially in the higher chakras as you begin to own it and mature it into real realization. So you'll begin to have experiences with the inner light. And these can take many forms, and they differ with each individual. So there's no way you can compare your progression to that of another. Because you come in with the cumulative effect of all your previous spiritual practice from countless lifetimes. So that's where you see the great difference in people, is that different ones have a different, let's say, accumulation of conscious awareness and revelation that they've carried over from previous lifetimes. But when you are starting to contact and integrate your inner light, some people experience that as the higher self or soul. In Sanskrit, it's called Atma Darshana. It's when you have the direct experiential revelation of yourself as divine light. And at this state, you begin to experience the light as being in you. But also at that stage, sometimes people will try to separate themselves from the world as if the world was somehow going to contaminate them. Beloved, the world is your arena of spiritual mastery. You will never master anything if you avoid confronting the things that tempt you in the world. You need to face the devil, as Sai Baba would say. Face the things that tempt you and vanquish that tempter by the light that you are. You need to stand your ground in the light. And when you stand in the light, as Jesus said, when your eye is single, when you're focused on that sixth chakra, your whole body is transmuted and transfigured into light. That means all of the life that you've lived out of your lower chakras becomes abstracted and drawn up into the Christ chakra, or the soul consciousness, and you no longer are subject to the karma of the lower world. And that is the whole purpose of every spiritual practice, is to become self-illumined in the light of your divine self. And this is how we do it, living our life, facing our challenges, mastering our temptations and areas of weakness, directing ourselves to the highest and the best that we possibly can. So the next stage of light integration is one of knowing. You have progressed from the light of experience, of working with the light, through the light of seeking, where you find the light actually within yourself. And now you're ready to move into the next stage of light integration, where you have the direct revelation, I am the light. And at this stage, you no longer need to call, quote, quote, in the light as if it were some outer force. And you no longer depend upon a certain set practice of searching to find the light, to experience it. And you begin to experience the light as a state in which you live and move all the time in your daily life. You don't even think about it. It's interesting. When you are something, you are no longer trying to work with it. You're no longer seeking to find it. You're not even talking about it. You simply are that, so you no longer are concerned about it. When you are something, you don't even experience it. It becomes part of your natural equipment, to which you just live from it, without making a big deal of it. I'll give you a very simplistic example. How much do you focus on, talk about, and make a big deal out of convincing people you are a man or a woman, if you are in fact a woman or a man? You don't go around trying to experience that, do you? You don't go around seeking to find out what that is. You simply know that. So your focus goes upon other things, other areas. And likewise, when you know you are the light, when you know you are the love of God, you simply are that, and you no longer are trying to make any case about that. So the entire life focus of one who knows that they are the light, that they are the love of God, shifts from personal self-focus into an extension in service to others. That is the biggest shift that you make. You go from personal self-focus. Because if you think about it, all effort to improve yourself, to grow and to learn, is really quite selfish. Even spirituality is quite selfish. I've seen people that are extremely judgmental because somebody, for example, is not a vegetarian. Or someone is, whatever, you know, fill in your own blanks here. But what I'm saying is, sometimes we become very self-righteous and very fanatical in our spiritual practice, and instead of becoming more loving, we become more judgmental, critical, and exclusive and inclusive. And we form this little, as my teacher John Roger calls it, We develop the holy man's disease, you know, where the world is unclean and somehow unworthy of our love and our attention and our focus. So to be the light, when you are the light, means that you see the light in others. That's the first thing you notice. And when you are the love, which is the manifestation of the light, that is all you really care about. That's all you notice in others. That's all you experience in the world. And your whole life becomes one of experiencing the love rebound to you from everyone. You experience the world as loving, as friendly, as coming under you to support you and to meet your needs without any other thought. Because it's the whole universe will manifest to support truth. And we'll not support that which is not based on truth. Because believe it or not, the whole entirety of creation is upheld by the light of love. That is what holds the atoms together. In every form is the love of God. That's what causes planets to keep a divine ordering as they revolve around their suns. That's what keeps all the life waves and the root races progressing and unfolding as they develop consciousness on the different life zones or planetary islands of light. That's what keeps everything moving. Love truly makes the world go round. Not the ego's world. The ego's world is driven by money. But God's creation, the true creation, is governed by love. So now, the very first place to seek light, if you're in that seeking stage, is to discover what lights up your life. What lights you up? What makes your face just break into a radiant, beautiful smile when you see it? What softens your heart? What inspires you and makes you just really enthusiastic? That is your entrance into the light in whatever that is in your life. Get into that. Get involved with that. You could follow that energy of enthusiasm and interest and light, and that could be just your entire spiritual path. And when you discover what lights up your light, what ignites your light, the next thing is to discover your place, your role, your passion in life. Because this is what your real life is all about. It's finding where God has intended and created you to be. And whatever you are doing, ask yourself, is this really what I was created to do, be, and express? You know, the Bible says it very clearly. Whatsoever you do, do with all your heart as unto God. And what you can't do with all your heart, I really think you're wasting your time. Many people do things for one reason, to get money. Do you know that if you find the place that God has created for you to be in, where your light, your creative intelligence, your creativity can truly be shining and shared with the world, do you know that you will never know lack? Every manifestation of lack in your life is simply a lack of your awareness of the light that you are. It's trying to compromise to fit the world instead of overcoming the pull of the world and choosing into your divine destiny. It is a choice, beloved. But you will not be supported ever where God does not want you to be. So when you keep getting fired from certain jobs, or your boss keeps chastising you because you're late or you have sloppy work habits, you're late and you have sloppy work habits because you're not really present with your heart in that particular job. Granted, you can train yourself to bring yourself forward and manifest excellence and your very best in the worst of conditions. God knows I have had some of the worst jobs, really some armpit jobs. But I can say honestly and truthfully, I have never done any job that I didn't give it my very best. I have always consecutively done my best, even when I didn't want to do it. Why? Because I'm a disciple. And a disciple is one who consciously, willingly submits to to the discipline of the higher nature or the divine self. So wherever you are, that's your arena of influence. That's your stage. That's your pulpit. And you are always in the right place at the right time if you but would recognize that. Now, we try to second-guess God. And I'm not contradicting what I just said. I'm moving to a different level. You need to understand that in the spiritual teachings, there are levels that are appropriate at one stage and become totally inappropriate at another stage. But there may be someone that needs to hear it in that particular way. So you always need to discern, what is for me? And generally, you will remember what is for you. And you will tend to discount or not remember what is not for you. So in listening and participating in our seminars, just trust that what you need to hear, God is going to highlight for you in some way. So I'm at a stage in my life in which I'm really doing what I know I was created to do. And I know that I was meant by Almighty God to communicate spiritual truths and principles. And I do it through this radio seminar. I did it earlier through workshops and being a keynote speaker at consciousness events. I continue to do it through writing. I used to do it for many years through doing personal sessions with people. But now, it is this particular voice of the Ashtar Command, cosmic pep talks for closet Christ, that is what I was meant by Almighty God to do right now. And as long as that has support, I will continue doing it. When that support seems to be drawing back, I will know that it's time for me to move to whatever is next. One of the ways that support appears in my life is the ability to pay the airtime for these radio seminars. I have to pay airtime for them. Sometimes people assist me. That's greatly appreciated because I live on an income which does not allow me a lot of extra, let's say. So support in the form of financial support from people who are gaining value from what I'm sharing is one of the ways that I know that what I'm sharing has value to this universe, which would be those of you that listen. So we're learning to let our life speak to us. It speaks to us by what area we're supported in and by the areas that we're not supported in. It speaks to us through the things that open up to us and extend favor and invitation and the things where the door is shut in our nose. So all the time, we are always in communication with the all that is, with that eternal light within and in which we live and move and have our being. And likewise, who and what we really are is forever communicating energetically to all of creation. So your circle of influence, whether it's large or small, are the people that destiny has marked for you to influence in positive ways. And these are the people that are right in your immediate environment, that email you, that call you, that interact with you, that, for example, in my case, that listen to my radio seminars. But whether or not I have a listening audience that is represented in people who tune into the radio seminars, there is the greater universe in this quantum universe in which I live that I'm communicating to throughout infinity. Because the word once sent forth never returns void and never ceases to be resounding throughout all of creation. That's why I'm learning to be more and more monitoring and aware of the quality of the words that I speak. I'm working to consciously energize the thought forms and the words and the energies that I would like to convey through my instrument, making it as high a quality as I possibly can. So every one of you has a calling. Everyone is called, though not everyone is going to be in a field of expression that lights them up, that they also get paid for. So your calling may not be what you are being and sharing through your light. It may be what you are being and sharing regardless of the career that is paying your bills or the job that's providing the paycheck. So that's important that you don't limit yourself and think, oh, well, I can't be the light of the world because I'm a whatever. Oh, yes, you can. I don't care what you are or where you are the light of the world. So the light, the true light, the highest form of light that manifests through the human being is selfless service, sharing what you are from what you have to offer with just a genuine desire to do something to make someone else's life happier, better, blessed, prospered, whatever. And you're learning through your life experiences and going through your challenges and growing and learning and transcending. And as you do, that's your teaching that you're imparting and sharing with others. So whatever you do, whether you're waxing or waning, falling or rising, or whatever you're doing, it's still a teaching and a sharing of your authentic life with all of creation. So in the service that we render, whatever we really do with that intention of bettering the place that we exist, of being that candle in the darkened room, whatever, that is what you're here to do as the light of the world. So finding whatever it is that lights up you, your inner self, so that you can be a light in this world and help and influence others, that is really your sole purpose, S-O-U-L, purpose, and role in this world. Now, no one but you are responsible for your life. You are responsible for the energy that you bring to yourself and through yourself to others. So taking responsibility for our energies, that energy management, is absolutely crucial to bring the best of what we have to offer through us and into the world. So we need to do that in order to truly present our truth into the world, because light itself is truth. So light and love and truth and your authentic real self are all one and the same thing. And we're all like little radio transmitters that are forever broadcasting specific frequencies. Our frequency of light and our frequency of love is unique in all the cosmos. Even though light has one source, love has one source, still, in the fractals that we are, it is individually recognizable. So for every action, as Einstein taught us, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So in the lower worlds of time, space, and becomingness, you always have that reaction reflection and resounding back and forth. That's one of the basic laws of life, whether you call it karma or the law of reciprocity. We receive in exact degree and measure whatever we put out. So no one but you completes and fulfills and makes you happy, and nobody is responsible but you if you're not happy. So you are not alone in anything that you say, think, or do, but what you transmute and communicate to all of creation rebounds to you in exactly the same way. So when you release, for example, two things that really, really block us are a sense of shame and unworthiness. So confession is truly good for the soul. That's why it says in the Bible that we are to confess to one another our shortcomings and to have counsel with one another and to come alongside one another to help bear each other's burdens and to strengthen each other in your walk of discipleship. So when you release your sense of shame by simply owning what is so in your experience, just simply and honestly, what's happened in your life, at that moment, when you release it, it goes into that greater light and is lifted and cleared through grace. That is the whole premise behind confession. And confession is a very good thing, whether you go to a Catholic confessional or you simply sit before your altar and you confess before Almighty God that you feel ashamed or guilty because of this, and you ask God to forgive you. That is another way that you can clear it. Another way to clear it is to write it down really quickly without reading it. Just, birth it onto the paper and then burn it up. Burn the paper. So that's another way you can do it. But there are many ways that we can divest ourselves of the things that block us. And the other thing that blocks many people is a sense of unworthiness. And they feel unworthy to receive the good things of life and the blessings and love of God, or to live this life as they were created to live it. And that sense of unworthiness is really the invisible thread that is linked to every form of pain that we have. And that unworthiness is what blocks many people in their ability to receive and to know for themselves their own worthwhileness or to experience their own self-worth. So you are made worthy not because of who you think you are or what you have thought you've made yourself or not made yourself. You are worthy because you are made by God, in God's own spiritual image and likeness. So you are God's light. You are God's intelligence. You are God's creativity. You are God's loving, individually expressed as you, with your name and your body and your personality and all of your qualities, which in this world have to be balanced between the negative and the positive. You just learn to dance in between both of them. So you're worthy because of who you are and not for any other reason. And you are loved because you're part of God and God is love. So I really wonder how many of you are truly aware of the impact of your energy, of your thoughts, words, emotions, and their effect upon the weather and upon world conditions. Did you know that each one of us is held responsible for whatever we send forth as energy? Did you know that we will be held personally accountable for every thought, word, and deed? That's what the scriptures teach. And not only that, but in exact measure and degree and manner will we reap what we have sown. And all the chickens are going to come home to roost. The Garden of Eden, we're told, was lush and filled with fruit and flowers, was very beautiful, had a temperate climate. And man had everything divinely provided. There was no need to labor, no need for a financial system. And man lived in perfect, ongoing divine communion and communication. But today, it seems we have just the opposite in our experience. The weather seems to alternate between being too hot or too cold. We have too much food or too little food or famine. We have too much rain and flooding or too little rain and drought. And the insects and the animals invade and attack and annoy us and each other. And the storms are wiping out, as we speak, entire communities. I really wonder if the things that we're seeing right now in the weather patterns are simply reflecting our lack of conscious awareness in how we manage and engage our energy. Could it be due to our lack of awareness of how much our energies impact our world, that these chaotic storms keep proliferating and seemingly get worse? I wonder, our intensifying of unbridled emotion, is that what is causing the flooding, the violent weather conditions? Could it be caused by our negative thoughts and judgments? Are the dry and barren hearts devoid of the nectar of loving others and genuine devotion? And are regarding other people with the same care as we regard ourselves? Is that what is causing droughts and deserts and barrenness? Does our anger create fires and accidents and explosions? Does the conscious intention to harm and kill and maim and terrorize others, is that what has created the war and the living hell that so many people live in on Earth? It could be. If we are having returned to us collectively the sum total of the energies that we have released through our consciousness, it would seem to me that we are the ones that are causing what we see depicted in the news. And my heavens, what different realities we see depicted through today's exposure to global media. Every day we see every possible polarized state being played out on television, the internet, and the global news, and within the talk and reality shows. So how many of you just watch and make judgments and comments which express your human bias of opinion and create more negativity? Now think whether or not your energy is expressing the light of your higher awareness, or were you just suckered into the collective negativity of the critiquing ego mind? Did you help or hinder or hurt by your thoughts? Your thoughts, your energy went forth, whether or not you verbally express them to another. And when you do express your thoughts and opinions to another, did you know that you're held responsible for whatever was generated in another's consciousness by your comments and energy? Oh, yes, there's that karma thing showing up. So, it's really an exercising of awareness and a full-time job of mentoring our mouth, our mind, to truly be the light that we are divinely meant to be. Wow. No time off. That's why a disciple is one who submits to the discipline of spirit. So, how are some simple ways that we increase our light? Number one, smile. A smile is the light showing up on your face. It's the light of goodwill shining through you in friendliness. You know, even if you're having the worst possible day, if you just look at your face in the mirror and smile, it's amazing how that will shift your consciousness. Your body, your posture, your facial expression, all of that triggers hormones and endorphins and different chemical reactions in your brain and in your body. That's why in India there's a whole science of sacred gesture called mudras. Every single movement and position of the body will either open you to greater light or dim you. So find the things that light you up and exercise them. Number two, forget about what you need and see how you can meet another's need without any desire for return. Just live as a blessing. And the light of you as soul is starting to show up. Number three, if it isn't positive and a blessing to everyone, don't say it and don't do it. Then, the light of your spiritual maturity is starting to manifest. Number four, take responsibility for managing your life and what you've created for yourself without blaming others and without talking about it to others and dumping it on them verbally or emotionally or physically. You just handle your creation with God's help because it's your 10 acres to till. And as you do that, the light of discipleship is forming in you. Number five, be sweet, simple, and sincere. No play acting, no mood making, no deceptive agendas. Just be your authentic self, your best self. Be true to the best and the highest within you. As you do that, the light of the Sacred Heart is radiating through you. Number six, forgive and release all againstness towards yourself and others. Because what you hold against another, you bind to yourself. So forgive it all if you want to be forgiven and set free. As you do this, the very light of the teachings of Jesus is shining in you. Number seven, just pretend that everyone is God, that God alone exists as all that exists, that God is in everyone and everything you see. And only pretending to be a particular role or manifesting as a particular condition. And pretend this until you realize it and know it as truth. As you do that, the light of God consciousness is developing in you. These are so simple. But if we just made this our normal, everyday modus operandi, we would be walking as the beloved, and the whole world would rush to clear the way before us, to open the doors, and to prepare the table of abundance. So number eight, act with love, care, respect, and consideration all the time, no matter what. Do you know, Sai Baba said that we shouldn't even ignore an animal. We shouldn't even ignore a cat or a dog or a bug. We should respect everything even our cars, even our personal possessions. Don't toss them around carelessly. Know that God is in every single atom of existence, and treat everything with the respect that you would accord the Divine Beloved. And do and say to another only what you'd like to have done and said to you. As you do that, the light of Christ consciousness is aglow in you. 9, do the right thing, even when you don't feel like it or want to do it. Because, you know, only the false self will try to get you to act against what is right, true, and good. And as you consciously make that choice to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, the light of divine will is growing in you. That's the power of divine will. It's the will to good. Very, very powerful. 10, always speak the truth as you know it to be. Except, this is a big exception, do not say anything, even if it's the truth, if it would wound or harm another person or their feelings. Sai Baba teaches that. We shouldn't say anything that would ever hurt another's feelings. And when that would be the case, he says we can remain silent. Or you can walk away, or you could change the subject, or you could do what I often do. I just say, I don't choose to comment or discuss that. You can always do that. I don't want to talk about that. And when you do that, the light of truth is manifesting in you. 11, do things only for your own reasons. Not to win approval. Not to control or manipulate another. Not to court someone's favor. Be true to yourself. When you're true to yourself, capital S, you're true to God. When you're true to God, you're true to everyone. And your divine self, the light of your true self, is shining as you. And 12, do all things with God and for God, as if God alone existed and mattered. And that is the absolute truth, because God alone is all that exists and all that matters. So when you do that, you are truly living as the light of the world. So you are the light of the world. And that light simply is uncovered as you make these choices to smile, to act with respect and honor and reverence to all of creation, to do good, to be good, to see good, to speak good, to send forth good energy. And when you look at the weather, when you look at the news, put your sacred hands up and release divine blessings and divine love. You can ask that Jesus flow his love through you, or Sai Baba, or Krishna, or whoever you feel close to, John Roger, the traveler, whatever. Ask that that divine spirit, the Holy Spirit, be the love that flows through you and through your hands and blesses whatever situation is taking place. I also put my hands under those tornadoes and I send them back up into the sky to dissolve and dissipate. And you can do that also, or you can just sit and chant. And you can chant the Hu or the Om or Shanti or any mantra or the Kadosh mantra. And as you do that, you are sending the love and the light of God into that situation in a very non-inflictive and clear way. So let's go out chanting. Let's do Om Shanti, 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 which is the very energy vibration of divine peace. Deep breath. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. May all the beings in this world and every world have peace. Om, peace, peace, peace. And you've been listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command, Adonai.